Welcome to the Ruthlessly Efficient Marketing Podcast. I am James, and I'm here, as always, with my ruthlessly efficient colleague, Gary.
Hello, ruthlessly efficient Gary here.
That's you. You're ruthlessly efficient. I am efficient, but not as ruthless as perhaps I would like. Ruthless with my marketing, but not perhaps with my time. So here we are. We're here to talk today about, we're talking about how stores can capture more data and restaurants, and how they can take advantage of the spike or the bounce of people coming back to alfresco dining, going back into stores, and it's efficiency week number five. There's still more tips to go. If you aren't already ruthlessly efficient, there's a load of exciting.
Let's be honest there. You couldn't do the numbers, could you? You couldn't work out that it was four more weeks to go.
Not just in my head. No, I wanted to. But it wasn't a simple enough sum.
By the end of the 8 weeks, you'll be able to count as well. It's one of the things we'll teach you.
You can count your head without any sort of apparatus. That is very exciting. Very exciting. Anyway, here we are. We're recording this on a Monday. It's the 12th of April. The stores reopened. I was out there this morning with one of our clients taking photographs of people in shops, people in restaurants. People are ready. They're going at it. It was busy. It was busy out there.
I've seen some pictures. I've seen some queues, like the Arndale Centre. They are queuing up to get in.
People are not worried about the safety and security. They are ready to get back to normal life, I think. So yes. We know there's going to be demand. So we talked about this a lot last week, and we wrote a lot about it in our previous blog. There are definitely lots and lots of people that are anxious and excited to get back to some semblance of reality, whether that's eating al fresco. The weather's beautiful. It's going to be great for people this evening, and it's going to carry on into the next few weeks. But is that going to continue a month from now? Will you still have that same level of demand, or will things have started to get back to normal? And will you have been able to take advantage of that? And one of the things we talked a lot about last week was capturing those people's data, whether the people that you get in or the people that you have to turn away. But it's not quite as simple as that, is it? Capturing data, we talked about capturing data, you should capture their data. But a lot of people asked us, yeah, but how do we go about that process? How do we convince someone that they want to give us their data? And I think the first thing I wanted to talk to you about really was, it's not as simple as just, you used to be able to say, hey, give us your email address, and everyone would just hand over their email address willy-nilly. Now, that's just not the case anymore.
I remember those beautiful halcyon days. Yeah, it was the easiest thing in the world, wasn't it? You literally just put a note at the bottom of your website, sign up. We've got loads of really cool offers.
Done. Sold.
Boom. There you go. I'm in, because I don't get many emails, so I'm signing up for it. Not anymore. I get too many emails. You're going to have to justify it. Also, because as I think we said last week, ever since Cambridge Analytica, everyone knows the power of their own data. Mm. So if you want my data, justify it. I think we said it the other day. You have to actually work just as hard to get an email address as you do to sell something nowadays.
I mean,
it's that important.
Yeah. I mean, it is a transaction, isn't it? There's no getting around that. If you know your data has value, whether it's your email address, whether it's your profile data, survey fill in, anything like that, people recognize that that has significant value for a customer. At the end of the day, that's Google's whole entire, you are Google's product, the data that it has on you. There's nothing more, you know, you're not buying anything from them. You're just giving them information about yourself. And I think people do realize that now. And so it's become much, much harder to just, as you said before, whack a sign up form at the bottom of a website and say, sign up for, you know, the latest news.
Literally what we've done, but
yeah, but and unsurprisingly, we have had no one sign up through that sign up form. However, interestingly, we have a great many sign ups through one of our other sign up forms.
Seamless. It's almost like we know what we're doing here. That is, as you always, the phrase you always use is, it's a value exchange. If you want my data, is very valuable nowadays. So if you want it, you need to give me something in return. And it might not be a completely free, you know, they're not going to give you necessarily free products, although there is examples and we'll come on to those. But it's about giving somebody something in exchange that they feel is valuable. It isn't just a case of giving them. I've seen some terrible examples of people going, look, we're giving you this free thing if you just sign up for it. And I'm looking at it going, I really don't want that free thing. If that's the best thing you can offer me, I really don't want to have any emails from you. So you actually have to give people valuable stuff that makes them think, A, yes, I'll give you my data, and B, I think better of your brand as a result of that.
So before we talk about the types of things that you could use, when we talk about capturing people's data, what are we talking about? Are we just talking about email addresses, or is there more more different ways that people could potentially be sort of secured into your community?
The obvious other route is really getting them onto whatever your main social media channels are. And obviously your main social media channels are obviously your clients, your customers' main social media channels. So wherever they normally hang out, getting them to like a Facebook page, follow you on Twitter, whatever it happens to be. I never say it right on Instagram, because I was going to say follow you on Instagram, but I know that's not the right phrase, and I'll sound like an old man by saying that. But the whole point being that you need people to then follow, because that is another, those are the two main avenues. With email, it's great. You get to push out your content. You get to decide the time, but you still don't actually know for sure that they're definitely going to read it. You know, there's only a, you know, industry averages of 40 to 50% of open rates on emails, and then how much they actually read it is a whole different discussion. So actually, the sometimes the easy thing is to get someone to like your social media channels, because then you can, it's much easier to pump out more content that way. And it's that balance between, yes, if you can get an email address, that's great, but don't focus on that as the sole thing, because that's much harder to do.
Yeah, I think it's about it being on your customers' terms. That's what you've got to come to terms with. You've got to accept that just because you like sending emails, that doesn't matter if that's not how your customer wants to talk to you. And really, the smart money is on giving people options, having an email, but also having social channels, also having other ways that people can communicate with you. Because, you know, it's that sense of how invasive do you want a brand you interact with to be. If I put someone, if I like somebody on social, if I follow someone on Instagram, it is a follow on Instagram, so you were okay. Right with that.
We're not such an old man.
Yes, if you do those things, I know I'm in control of that. I can just unfollow, dead easy. If they get annoying, if there's too much stuff, I can just hide it, or I can unfollow it. It's much more straightforward. Whereas I think the sense is that an email is slightly more invasive. It's kind of, it's inserting itself into your inbox. And as you said before, the idea is that people think, oh, well, if I send an email, it's much more likely to get read than if it's a social media post or something like that. And that's just, it's just simply not true. You have risks with all of those different platforms, don't you? You've got your competition on social media is everyone else on social media. Your competition on email is everyone else that's sending emails, of which there are a great many.
Yes, yeah, I completely agree. I think the thing to remember with the likes of Facebook is obviously that there's a running joke about organic only works on Facebook when you pay them. So there is a way around it, and you can elevate it. And yeah, okay, if you put a message out on social media, you probably won't hope to reach 40 to 50% of your audience. That would be amazing in comparison to email. But I would argue, and I am speaking from the position as a man who spent 20 years in the email industry, I think you'll find it's far, far easier to get the reach on social media, because you'll just get more, you know, if you get 100,000, actually, let's be more realistic numbers. You get 1,000 people follow you on Facebook, and you get 100 signups for email, you might get more people see your emails out of that 100, but you don't need as big a percentage, because you've got a wider net with social media. And you've got, and again, I come back to the point that sending out an email, particularly for small businesses, sending out an email requires quite a bit of work normally. Setting up the post, you can do those quick. It's quick and simple, and it's easy to schedule. And I think it gives you the option to just reach a wider net. We talk about ruthlessly efficient. In many ways, social media can be a lot more efficient than email can.
Yeah. And again, it's about thinking about that funnel as well, isn't it? I think there is a potential that an email is for a more engaged customer. You now know I only want a certain amount of emails in my inbox. I have to check my emails. I don't have to check my social media. That's where I am. Whereas
yes,
for another customer, they may feel differently about that. They may actually not use email a great deal, or certainly may not use their personal email a great deal, but they might be absolutely thorough about checking their social media feeds and everything like that, in which case that's the place to be for that person. But
yep,
then wherever they are most, that's where the most value is, and they recognize the value of the real estate and the space that you take up on that. So you absolutely have to give them value. You have to give value when you get them in the first place. And then every single time you communicate with them, you have to give value, because every single time you send an email, every single time you send out a social media post is an opportunity to remind somebody to unsubscribe or to unfollow you or to you know, unhook up with you in some way. Because that, you know, we've seen that with loads of things where you won't communicate with people for a long time. And then you suddenly do. And then you see a spike in unsubscribes because people just forgot they were subscribed or people just forgot that they were connected with you in some way. And then, you know, that's what causes that. So first of all, let's talk about how you get them to say yes. How do you get people to be willing to connect with you on social or to hand over that email address?
Give them free stuff.
Just free, any simple. Free stuff. Just something you've got lying around.
Just give them free stuff. Here you go. You can't say this. This is terrible for a podcast, but you know, I'm waving things in front of the camera to James.
And they would all it's be all acceptable. Free stuff. You'd be happy to give those.
An old bank statement. I'm sure most people would. Yeah, that's probably quite valuable to certain unscrupulous people. But no, as I said earlier, whatever you give away reflects upon you. So even if it's good enough to get someone to sign up, if they then use it, so let's take the example. We use our own example because it's always quite a helpful one to explain. We use the example of an ebook. Now we've used other things in the past, other things that we would probably collectively now happily say weren't as good. And A, you didn't get as many people sign up because it was obvious the quality wasn't there. But B, the good thing what we like about the ebook is that when someone does sign up, it then reflects well upon us. Because if we promise this packed ebooks, loads and loads of pages, all this free stuff, really great stuff in it, and they go, well, brilliant, okay, I'll have that, I'll give you my email address, I'll download it, and then it's rubbish. Well, first of all, the second they get an email from us, they're just going to unsubscribe. Oh, those are the guys that sent me that rubbish ebook. Bang, gone. Secondly, they're never going to buy from you because their opinion of you is shaped by that free thing. So people have this illusion that, and as long as I give them something free, they'll be happy. They won't, you know, they won't judge me. Like, people judge you by anything you send them. There's those t-shirt companies that always have these free things they give, you know, like sign up for buy two t-shirts and get a third one for free. But the third one is like, you don't know what it is. It's going to be a mystery. If it's rubbish, then they're not going to buy other t-shirts from you because their opinion of you is tainted by the free thing. So whatever you give away for free has to be indicative of the quality that you're going to bring. And that's really the starting point, is what can you deliver that starts to give people a view of who you are. And that's, I'm talking about free content, free gifts, whatever it is from that perspective. Obviously there's loads of other avenues we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, I think the thing you've got to think about is, why do you want the data in the first place? You're not collecting bottle caps. You don't just want the data for no reason at all. You ultimately want the data because you want them to be a customer. If they come into store, you want them to come back into store again. If they visit your restaurant, you want them to come back again and come back more regularly or tell their friends or whatever else. So what you offer has to be in service of getting them to the next step, which is then they come back again. So again, it's about it not just being free, but it has to be relevant. It has to be something that would be of use to them. It's no good sending them amusing cat gifts because that isn't going to get them to the next step, which is being a customer. So
your obsession with amusing cat gifts is always amusing.
That's what people
me.
Send out, isn't it?
I've never been sent an amusing cat gift.
No, but when we talked about you mentioned before the stuff that we've done in the past, we have done templates, bits and pieces like that, that I think we would, as you said, agree now, were not as good as they were fine, but we've also signed up for things. I've signed up for loads of free things where I thought, that headline sounds fabulous. That thing that you're offering me sounds great. Have my email address. I do want the thing you're offering me. And then it comes and it's bobbins. And not only do I immediately unsubscribe, I delete the thing that I got sent and I make sure I never interact with that thing again. Because as you said, it was the quality of what they sent was indicative of the thing that I imagine they would sell in the long run. So therefore I know I don't want to be a part of that. So no matter what you provide for free, it has to be of quality, but also relevant to the thing that ultimately you're selling in the long run. So if you are a restaurant, so let's imagine you are a restaurant, what sort of things could a restaurant offer at that? Let's say it's at the checkout. What's the name when it's been so long since I've been to a restaurant. I can't remember how it even works.
Okay, let me we'll do a quick run through, because we are actually going to a restaurant tomorrow night, James. I don't want you to embarrass us when we go out. So
Thank you. You
generally, what happens at the end of the evening is somebody gives you a bill, and then you pay for it. Maybe you'll go up to a till, or maybe in the modern COVID world, I think the waitress will bring something to you, or the waiter, and you'll
make
go for
a sort of gesture, like you're writing on your hand, don't you? That's a usual.
The universal. And this time, let's make sure we order that last round as well before we run out of time. That's the important thing to remember. But the key there is, well, as you quite rightly said, you want them to come back. It's not rocket science. Drop us your email address, or like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter, and we'll send you 20% off your next order. There you go. 20% off sounds a really good deal. I'm happy with that. I like the idea of that. It's good for you, because I can only use that 20% if I come back.
Yep.
Now, all of this obviously goes back to what we said right at the start last week, which is still got to deliver a good service, because 20% off a rubbish service is still 20% off a rubbish service. You're not going to have it. But let's assume they've had a good experience in a restaurant. If at the end of the night, I mean, let's put it this way. Tomorrow night, we already know we've booked for the following week. They don't know that. And if we go in tomorrow night, and at the end of the night, we pay for the bill, and they say, and if you'd like to come back, if you could sign up here, we'll give you 20% off your name. We'll all be signing up. We're all putting our names in, because we know we want to go back. It's a thing we want.
So if you want to beat the smarty pantses like Gary, the smart thing here is to say, we know it's going to be busy for the first month. So what you need is a cool down period on that bounce back offer. So you want to say, come back next month and we give you 20% off, because you know it's going to be busy for the next little bit. But you know that that dip is going to come after everyone's had that initial excitement. So use it as a bounce back offer. And we say this anytime you do an event, anytime you encourage a larger spike of visitors. So this is not just relevant for now. It's for any time in the future where you get a big peak of people. It's a really smart thing that I think IKEA do this, where you go there at Christmas and you buy a Christmas tree from them, and they give you a voucher when you buy that Christmas tree for £25 off something else. So you buy a tree, you get 25 quid off, but that 25 quid has got to be used in January after their January sale. So it makes you come back in again.
Yeah.
If you don't use it, no, you know, it sounded like a great deal, so it made me want to buy my Christmas tree from there. But if you do use it, it means they're going to come back and buy full price items later on. So it encourages that repeat purchase, even if it's distanced by some time. So as you say, it's about giving them something that sounds like it's great value, something that if they use it, you're going to get a benefit because they're coming back. And if they don't, it didn't actually cost you anything to deliver. And I think that's another point, isn't it? That the free thing you give away should be free for you to give away. If it costs you money to do it, it's probably not a great idea.
Yeah. I think the larger you get, I mean, there are free gifts that people come up with that people use in store that work to a certain extent. But as a rule, yeah, try and give them. A classic one is obviously come back in, and when you come back in, and I absolutely love your idea that, you know, it's not for this first month, it's the month after, but you know, the first drink's on us, you know, nice and simple, nice and easy. We all know that you can afford, you know, that's only being paid for because you're coming back to the restaurant. I think the other thing is if you move away from just giving away free stuff, is that feeling of exclusivity. That's probably the other big reason why people give away their data, because they feel like they're part of an exclusive club and they're going to hear about things that no one else knows about. So, you know, in a store, it may be, you know, sign up and we'll send you an email, or we'll post up exclusive to this group when this trainer's in that hasn't, you know, that well, and we'll send it before anybody else sees, because they're limited edition. Lego is obviously the king of this. We know this, that they love getting people signed up to the members, the VIP club, because the VIPs get to buy stuff before. And as with so many Lego things, they run out and they sold out. So if you're desperate to get hold of something, you could miss out, and you could be months and months before they're back in stock. And it's that exclusivity. It's like, we're going to tell you things before someone else does. Or, you know, in a restaurant, in a pub, it may be, well, we do offers, but we only do them on the day to people that know that the offer's there. So you bring your card in, you get them on the day. So it's an exclusive offer just for you. So you don't have to actually give anything away at the time. But what you're saying is, you've enjoyed the experience, you probably want to come back. Well, if you give us your data, we'll give you the best time to come back.
Yeah, you'll have a better
it's making them feel. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's just making people feel special. People love being feeling special, and yeah, I think that's always you know, behind giving away stuff, that's always the best way to get people to sign up.
Yeah, people love to feel like they're getting something that other people aren't getting as well, don't they? And that is a fundamental human silly thing that they have, is that that's why, like the example you gave, the Lego thing, is that's why people buy things in that first sort of week or 2 weeks, because you want to have it before anyone else. You want to build it, you want to put it on your social media or show it to your friends or do whatever, use it as your background for your Zoom calls before anyone else has had a chance to do that, because that's the only reason to do it, because it's going to get cheaper. You know, over time, there's a good chance that that item is going to be available elsewhere. It's going to be less expensive or whatever else. So you're creating that excitement. You're creating that something special about being on that list. And there are lots of examples where people use that, you know, using loyalty is a similar fashion, where you can get people sign up to your loyalty card or something like that.
Yes.
Another great way of, again, encouraging those repeat visits, giving people something that they have to earn over a period of time.
Totally. I think the one final one I'd say is if you're in restaurants, or even in some stores where people are going to be in there for a little bit of time, is just give them something that they get free in store. You know, the Wi-Fi code is the classic one. Is you know, if you, the first thing most people do when they walk into a restaurant nowadays is immediately check whether or not they can check their email and check their Facebook and whatever else they're doing. So potentially, if the perfect scenario is put yourself in a lovely location, but with a really rubbish rubbish 4G, so that they need Wi-Fi, and at that point, then you've got them suckered in. But I think that's probably
slightly Machiavellian, but I do like it. I think it's good.
It's also a harder one to manipulate, I think.
Yeah, true. No, that's absolutely right. All right, so you've got their data now. You gave them something valuable and got them signed up. Last sort of tip, I suppose, then would be, how do you make sure that you don't lose them once you've got them? So we've got them on board. How do we ensure that they don't unsubscribe immediately? They got their 20% off. They came back. They used it, and now we've lost them.
I'm giggling because I just wrote a blog about how frustrated I am with the absolutely terrible world of email nowadays, and welcome emails in particular, which are just the worst. It's like I joked at the top of this blog. It just said, thank you for signing up to our newsletter. Here's something we think you'll want to buy. I mean, what? No, that is not, you know, nothing about me yet. I've just signed up. Take me on a journey. Remind me. So it's remind them why they've signed up. Remind them why you're special. That's the starting point. Because don't assume, you know, particularly if you're a local restaurant or shop, don't assume they remember even where you are. Try and remind them, oh, we're the really cool Portuguese restaurant down the road that has this great food. And that's, I always go to that staple just because I just want to eat custard tarts. But it is, and it's not Nando's, be assured. But it is about reminding them why they signed up, why you're special, thanking them, but then also carrying on that journey of exclusivity by signing up. Just a reminder, you're going to get the following. So you might have got your immediate 20% off, but we also do this, and we also do this only for our subscribers. So, you know, you don't want to just literally say, you've got your 20% off, please don't leave straight away. You just want to remind them there's other things that we do. You've got the great thing, but actually we do loads of things like that. So stay subscribed and we'll give you more and more. And that's really what it should, ironically, because, and genuinely, I didn't know you were going to mention IKEA's example, but the example I put in this blog, the best one I've seen by a country mile, is the IKEA. And it, because IKEA do this amazing thing of personally saying thank you and then telling you about some more free stuff you can get. So for example, with IKEA, when you sign up and subscribe to them, you get an extra 30 minutes free in the kids area where you can drop your kids off. And then also you're invited into another even more exclusive club, which is for free, and you'll get new insider tips and insider products. And it's like they're building up this, you've signed up, but there's even more you can sign up to, and it's really exciting. And that's, I think that's how you do it. That's how you get people to not, because I, you know, we talked in the past, in the efficiency stuff about the fact that just sign up for stuff, give him a rubbish email address, get your 20% off, and then
be on your way.
But there are ways around avoiding that.
Yeah. And again, that's another way of starting to get really smart about your marketing and tiering that content, because you're going to have those super fans. You're going to have people that come to your restaurant every week. You're going to have people that buy your products all the time. Those people might be very happy to receive 2 or 3 emails from you a week. And that's totally fine. But you can't send 2 or 3 emails a week to everybody, because some people don't want to have all those. Some people don't want to see your post that regularly. So by if you've got a big enough audience and starting to tier them like that, that's a great way of being able to structure your communication in a really efficient way, so that you're getting the most out of those big purchases, those people that are regular visitors, whilst not irritating the people that are perhaps a little bit more every once in a while approach.
Yes. Yes. And that's all about engagement segmentation, which is not a subject we're going to cover today.
No, we certainly aren't. We certainly aren't, but maybe we will one day. All right. Well, thank you. I think that was good. Yeah, some good tips in there. I hope that people do capture that data when people are coming back into restaurants, when people are coming back into stores. I hope they use that opportunity to get as many people as they can, because I think it would be a mistake to think this is just going to carry on like this for the foreseeable future. I think there is going to be a big spike, and I think that it will eventually start to die down. And I hope that people use this time now to just give people a brilliant experience, give people amazing service, make them remember why offline shopping, offline dining, make sure they remember why that was amazing, and make sure they want to keep coming back long into the future.
Absolutely. So,
that's data capturing. Now it's time for efficiency week number 5.
Well done.
Can
for
you
remembering
remember,
it's
Gary?
Week 5.
Pardon?
Yeah, well done for remembering it's week 5.
I did remember it's week 5. Can you remember the first 4 efficiency tips?
Of course I can. I live and breathe them. The first one was all about cleaning up your inbox, and I know you've been doing a fairly good job of that.
Keeping on top.
The second one was all about planning your day, and I know that's something you've spent quite a bit of time on, although obviously with the Easter break and everything else, I think it's probably thrown us all out a little bit. Even I'm not quite as planned for the day as I'd like to think I am.
Definitely work in progress, although I would say again that it's one of those things that once you do it, it's easier to deal with when it goes wrong. So
yes,
you can get back to it faster, even if it goes a bit wrong.
Yeah, totally agree. Week 3 was all about taking out the stress. That was, I think, the easiest one we've done with you, and will continue to be, because you're not someone who tends to get too stressed about things. But we even did the scrambled eggs idea, which if you didn't go back and listen to that, because it's great stuff. Communication was last week all about, the better you communicate, the more efficient you become. Don't rely on email. Talk to people more. Different communication styles for different settings makes you more efficient. And this week, week 5, it's all about reviewing your processes. It's all
processes.
About
the freight. Nothing sounds more exciting and sexy than a good process, does it?
And there's very few things in efficiency that sounds exciting and sexy. I won't lie to
that's
you.
That's true, actually. Yeah, there's nothing. We haven't yet come across anything that I think sounds super exciting.
No, I've recapped weeks 1 to 4 for you. Which ones of those did you find the most sexy?
Saving time is sexy, isn't it, though? That is good, that's an appealing thing.
Yes.
Having more time, having less stress, having less emails in your inbox, those things are exciting things. There's no any, don't tell me otherwise, because that's a fact.
Okay. The phrase I'll use here is short-term pain for long-term gain. That is a thing that I think efficiency is often built on and people forget. And we're all guilty of it. It's about being prepared to put in a process, because if you stop and think about it, if you can find a process, something that you do, and when I say a process, people think of quite complicated things, but this could be just something you do every single day. Something, let's say if you did something 10 times a week, if you could save 2 minutes off that process by putting in a different way and a better way of doing it, and just don't go, oh, that's how I've always done it. Well, is there a better way of doing it? 2 minutes, 10 times a week, you've suddenly saved an hour and a half. Imagine giving yourself an hour and a half back, an hour and a half a week, 6 hours. You've almost got a day back over a month. And that's how quickly these sorts of things build up. The example, we'll go on to an example that I know we've done, and it's quite a meaty from a work perspective, but in a simple perspective, one for me was, is it just look at Xero or whichever accounting package you use. if you were to set up, if you take a bit of time to set up your bank statements so that they link automatically to the invoices, et cetera, it takes a bit of time and people kind of go, oh, I'll just reconcile them when they come in. If you take a bit of time at the start, that is a thing you don't have to do anymore. It's done. It's out of the way. It's happening automatically in the background. And suddenly you saved yourself. I estimate I've saved myself about 2 to 3 hours a month by just setting up. And it took me about 25 minutes to do. But I put off doing it for 2 months because it was just like, oh, it doesn't take that long. The thing is, it's always those things that don't take long to do. You kind of go, oh, it only takes you 5 minutes to do. So I'll just manually do it again. But actually, turn that one thing from 5 minutes to 4 minutes and suddenly over time, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. It's often those really simple things that a real good process can help. Because as you say, you think, it's not that big a deal to do it like this. But actually, yeah, that over time, that example of how you can save so much time by doing it repeatedly. And you think, if you think you don't have processes, you do. You already have processes, the ways you do things, they just become organic. That you create them because you just tend to do things the same way. But you can also build really, really inefficient processes in the same way. And I know I'm guilty of that in some occasions where I've got a way I do things, but that way I do things is just fundamentally wrong because it would take time to get a better one. And you know, as you said before, the example of how we approach, you know, we talk a lot about how you create content. One of the things as we as a business have to do a lot is creating content, and that's something that can take a lot of time. And for any small business, that is a thing we get, you know, probably the thing that most people say to us is, coming up with ideas for content, I just haven't got time. I haven't got time to be able to post things on social. And that was one of the first processes that we built for our customers that we started introducing to ourselves, because we know how much value there is in saving that amount of time and being able to go through a simple process that gets your content created from idea through to social posts on every different platform in a really, really efficient fashion. It just makes a massive difference to all the things we talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was the prime one I was thinking of in terms of, it's a bigger one. It's not one of the small ones, but it actually wasn't massive. It was a case of, you know, I'd write something and I kind of, because I generally write a lot, I kind of think, well, I can write a blog in an hour, so it's fine. What's the big deal? And then James will kind of go, yeah, I'll knock up some posts to go with that and we'll do some pictures and everything else. But actually, when we sat down and worked out how inefficient are we working between the two of us and me doing something, James looking at something, it was actually ridiculous how inefficient we were. And we probably saved hours and hours every week. Not only are we saving, and this is a double-edged thing for an efficiency thing, is that you're saving time, so you're physically becoming more efficient, but you're also getting better at the job because you're doing it smoothly, you're making less mistakes, which then has another knock-on effect from an efficiency point of view. So you're going to get better quality and you're going to do it quicker. And that's the beauty of a good process.
Yeah, the work becomes more aligned. Whatever process we're talking about, anything you follow from start to finish in one go is always going to have a better output than something that's disparate. Start, stop, do a bit here, then wait for a bit, then do another bit and forget what you did at the start. And you just, you know, not only are you wasting time, you are hurting the quality. And so the results will always be better if you follow that sort of a process.
Yep. Yeah. So I think I'd end by saying, look at, just go through, write down the things you do consistently all the time. Don't think about them as processes, as you quite rightly said, James. Think about just the things you do. So just write down the five things you do more than anything else. You know, what for me, one of them would be checking social media, because that's part of what we have to do. And actually, you, as we both know, we've come up with, you know, I've found a far more efficient, I probably used to spend 3 times longer checking LinkedIn and Twitter than I currently do, because I introduced, you wouldn't think that's a process to just check social media, but actually there's a more efficient way of doing that. And so just look for what those are, find the 5 things you do the most every single week, and just look at how you can make them slightly faster. And if you do that, you'll get yourselves hours back.
All right. Well, I'm going to give that a try. I've definitely got a number of things I think of that I do a bit ad hoc that I could probably try and tighten up that time. And I think maybe we should, that checking social media, how you keep on top of that stuff, I think that's worth sharing probably on another occasion, because there are some great tips in there for how to not get lost in social media, how to go in, get in and get out.
Week seven.
Week seven. Excellent. We'll look forward to that. We'll look forward to that. All right. Well, there you go. Make that list of all those tasks, especially the little ones that you do all the time. I'm going to do that. Make a list of them, and then we'll try and work out some faster and more efficient ways of getting through them. We'll share some of those next week as to how we're getting on with that process. So for anyone that's opening today, anyone over the next few weeks that's listening to this, I hope it goes really well. I hope you deliver an amazing service. I hope you get a massive amount of new customers, people that maybe haven't been before, and you capture them and you keep them coming back, because I think this is a great opportunity to get more and more of those people over and over again. We will, as always, be back again next week with more ruthlessly efficient marketing tips and conversation. See you next time.
Bye.